Lord, we bless your name, the name above all names. Lord, just help us at all times to bless you. All times, Lord, help us to bless you. When we go through a hard time, help us to bless your name. Help us to keep our eyes on you, Lord. Lord, just help us to know that you're always there. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave us or forsake us. We can trust on you. We depend on you. Lord, we thank you for that. Just thank you for taking care of each and every one of us. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. For the next, I don't know, a couple weeks, I'm not sure, probably a couple weeks, and then maybe once in March, I'm going to talk about witnessing. Something we're all to do. Why should we? Why go? What difference does it make? If we don't go, who's going to go? There's just a lot of things to think about. Today I want to look at what God says about the lost. What's his heart for lost people? And the fact that his heart should be our heart. You know, how he feels about things is how we should feel about them. I want to start with a very common verse. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves the world. Loves the world. Loves everybody in the world. God loves them. He loves them because he created them. They're his creation. And he loves them. And it's his desire that none perish. That none perish. You know, what's the value of a person? Sometimes when we value people, we put the value in different ways of how we determine worth. You know, some people are worth more than others to us in our sight. Society tends to do that. We give awards. We give out things to, you know, say that somebody maybe appears to be worth a little more. So I think sometimes in our own eyes, we start to develop systems of worth in people around us. Decide who's worthy of maybe my attention, who's worthy of me reaching out to them. But you know, I think the scripture is really clear that God sees worth in everybody. He sees worth in everybody. He's got, God so loved the world. Doesn't say, well, he loved this group of people, or he loved that group of people, or the people that did it this way, he likes them a little better. But God loves the world. And so when we think about putting value on people, I think it's important for us as Christians not to put value on people in a way that, well, they're worth my effort to reach out to them and share the gospel. You know, that they have a little more worth than other people. I think it's important that when we see reaching out, that it's whosoever we have opportunity to reach out to, not who we choose. You know, it's not always our choosing. And when we think about people having value, then I think we have to see, what's my attitude towards people? What's my attitude towards people that we reach out to? Or should we? I've heard people say, well, you know, I don't think we should go around. I don't think, well, I'll use Bob for an example. He's a good example. I don't think Bob Carpenter should go to Haiti. We got enough poor people here. You know, people say things like that. I mean, they say things like that. Or we shouldn't go over there. We shouldn't go here. We shouldn't go there. What determines the value? My opinion? You know, how can I say it? Do we have poor people here? Absolutely. Absolutely. But if God lays it on somebody's heart to reach poor people somewhere else, then it's not for me to say, well, I don't think they should be doing that. You know, now, I believe that God would have it so that his people reach out around the world, wherever they might be, wherever he lays it on their heart to go. And so different people go different places. I think we need to be very careful when we say, I don't think that's good, or I don't think we should, you know, I don't like to reach out to that group. And we need to be careful about our attitudes, you know, about our attitudes towards whatever we reach out, you know. Is it a bother? Does it ever get to be a bother? You know, is it a bother to, we're going to collect clothes for the people down in Kentucky. Is that a bother? Well, I don't see why we do that. You know, we got to be careful about our attitudes. You know, it's easy sometimes to get a bad attitude about these things. You know, sometimes when people don't respond the way we want them to, we get bad attitude about it. You know, well, I tried to reach out to them and they didn't treat me very good, so that's it. I'm done with them. You know, I think we have to be careful about our attitude. You know, reaching out to children. The children we reach out to on Wednesday nights, are they a bother? You know, they're a challenge. I have to be careful that the challenge doesn't become a bother. You know, yes, they're a challenge. You know, there's no doubt about that. Their effort takes a lot of effort, but it's not a bother. It's not a bother because God loves the world and so should I. So should I. I should have the same heart for the world that he does. And why does he have that? It says that so that none should perish, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. His desire is that none perish. That none perish. What are we talking about? We talking about just, oh, reach out to them so that, you know, they'll have a better life? Are we talking about just reaching out to people to try to help them along so they do better? No. It's so that they don't perish. I think sometimes we forget that it's about perishing. It's about where we're going for eternity. You know, sometimes we think, you know, evangelism is just getting people to come to church so they can have a little better life. Well, maybe if they come to church, maybe they'll have a better life, but that's not what it's about. So that none would perish. That none would perish. We're talking about their eternal destination. That none perish. In Revelations 21:8 says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There is a place. People perish. People perish. They live eternally in that damnation, a place that burns with hellfire and brimstone. You know, something maybe we don't want to think about. You know, and I don't think we should sit around and dwell on it. But I also believe that we have to have a sense and understand that it's a real place and it's a real destiny for people. And our job is to present the gospel so that none should perish and end up there. I mean, that's why we share the gospel. You know, so that no one perishes. No one perishes. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, the 47th verse. Oops. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore. And they sat down and they gathered the good into vessels, but they threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and they'll separate the wicked from the just and they'll cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said there's a place. There's a place. And so there's going to come a time when there's a judgment and there's going to be a separation. The just will go to heaven for eternity and those that are wicked will go to the place of destruction and fire. There's a place. So, you know, if we don't believe that, then there's not much reason to share. You know, if we think, well, you know, kind of my theory is God created us. He must love us. And I know somebody that thinks that why would a loving God send people to hell? Hell is only for scaring people to do what you want them to do. You know, that's a thought. Jesus said it's a place. Jesus said it's a place. And it's a place where people go. It's a judgment. And so if we understand that, then we should have a desire that none perish. That none perish. But all come to the knowledge of him. All. And, you know, that becomes a motivation, I would think. You know, I would hope it would be a motivation for us. But if we never talk about it, if we never think about it, maybe it's not much of a motivation because we just don't think it's a real place. In 2 Peter 3:8-9, it says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is God's desire that none perish." You know, he doesn't want anybody to perish. But it's his desire that we all come to repentance. Repentance from what? Repenting from my sin, the things I do, the things I've done, the way I've lived my life. We need to come to repentance, and we need to come to him and ask for forgiveness. Accept what he did so that we don't perish. Because his desire is that none perish, that none perish. In 1 Timothy, the second chapter, the beginning at the first verse. "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, and intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." God's desire is for all men to be saved. All men to be saved. And that's something everybody has to come to. You have to come to that place of accepting Christ and what he did for us. It's not a matter of being good enough. Can't be good enough. You know, well, they were good. I'm sure they're okay. We're not okay. We're not okay. We've all sinned and come short. And God's desire is that none should perish. So if it's God's desire to save all men and that none perish, then guess what? It ought to be my desire too. Ought to be my desire too. It should bother me. It ought to bother me. It ought to bother me to the place that I would pray for people. And we have to see, what is my life priority? What are my priorities in life? What are my desires in life? What am I willing to get up early for? What am I willing to spend my money on? You know, where do I put my priorities? You know, what's important to me? What makes me happy? Is that what life's all about? What are we telling our kids? What are we telling our kids? How do you tell your kids what's important in life? What do you share with your kids about? Well, here's priorities. Here's what's important. Is it important that your kids are always happy? Is it important that your kids are always just having a smooth life? No, it's not. That's not a priority. That shouldn't be a priority. You know? Your job and priority as a parent isn't to keep your kids happy. Your job is to teach and to train them and tell them the truth and to set godly priorities about things that are really important. Otherwise, what happens is our kids grow up in church and then all of a sudden they turn 20 and they all go different directions because they got different priorities. And we think, well, what happened? Well, what happened? They had different priorities than you. And they've got different priorities. And they're living them out. They're living them out. And so it's important that we teach our children what priorities are. We talk to them about what's important in life. It's important to tell them there's a place called hell. And people perish going there. You know, not to scare them. You know. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So maybe a little fear isn't all bad. You know, that we actually have a fear of what God says and who he is. that it really bothers us a little bit, maybe a lot, that we see that, you know, this life is pretty short. This life is pretty temporary. Eternity's a long time. Eternity's a long time. And so when you think about it, you think, wow, maybe it is important we share. I mean, maybe, you know, that we don't just find ourselves riding through life and saying, well, as long as I get to heaven, you know, as long as I make it, well, I hope everybody else makes it. That's up to them. You know, we have responsibility. We have a responsibility. What are we willing to do? What are we willing to do? What are we willing to do so that others would not perish? How do I have God's desire for the lost? You know, I think that's the first thing. I think sometimes we got to get God's desire inside of us. You know, I got to see the world like he sees the world. I got to have compassion on people like he has compassion. You know, why is the world going the direction it is in a lot of ways? Because we're walking away from him. We don't have his priorities. We got our own priorities. You know, what's the outcome? You know, eventually it leads to some pretty bad things. We're probably in this life, we're probably there in a lot of ways. We're struggling with a lot of stuff around us right now that is a result of sin and not following God's ways. Now, what I see is people can't see it because they go, well, we're just here because, well, we need to spend more money fixing it. So we're going to spend more money fixing all these problems because of sin. It's not going to work. You can't spend enough money to change people's hearts. You can't do it. God changes people's hearts. And he changes people's hearts when we share the truth with them. Yeah. Now, people don't always want to hear the truth. I understand that. It's our job to share the truth and then leave it at that. It's our job to share it in love. I'm going to talk about some really practical ways in next week and the following week. Practical things. I think it's important how we share. You know, can you tell if somebody really cares about you if they tell you the truth? I can. I can tell if somebody tells me the truth if I know they really care or not. If they don't care, do you tend to listen? No. I listen when I know they care. It's the kindness of God that brings people to repentance. Okay? But it's the kindness as you tell them the truth. As you tell them the truth. So I need to see the way things, I need to see the things the way God sees them. And first and foremost, a lot of times is I have to experience God's saving grace in a way that I want to share it with somebody else. I have to receive God's saving grace in my life to where I want to share that with somebody else. I want to share that. If you've never experienced God's saving grace, you're only going to share information. And it will just be information. I'm not saying it's always wrong, but it'll just be information. If you share what God's done for you, it will be from your heart. And it'll be what's happening, and it will make a different impact in somebody's life. You know, when you just get gut level honest with somebody sometimes, that has a lot more impact than just sharing information. You know, when you just say, hey, you know what? Here's how I feel. Here's how this affects me. Here's what I believe. And then just leave it at that. Just leave it. Just share. What does it mean to you? God loves me. God forgives me. God heals me. God delivers me. God blesses me. God works in my life. You know? Now, sometimes people can see that because they're around you. They can just kind of know that that's true, and that's a witness. But sometimes we're called to share with people that don't know you. They don't know about you. They need to hear what you believe, you know, because of a question they might have asked or something they might have said. Opportunities come in a lot of different ways. I believe we share because we want to obey God. You know, sometimes it's just because God said so. You know, everybody shares for different reasons. It depends what motivates you. Do you want to do what God says? Do you want to obey him? In Matthew 18, the last thing Jesus said to his disciples, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. He says, all authority has been given to him. And then he says, now, you go. Why do we go? Why do we go? We go because he has all authority. And we go in his authority. Okay? And he says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We share, we witness because we obey what Jesus said. He said, go. He said, go. He said, go and teach. You know, it's important, I think. One of the things is, you got to understand that when we as Christians go and share with people, there's a starting point in people's lives, and then there's a growth after that. There has to be, it has to start somewhere. There has to be a starting point. And a lot of times evangelism is getting people to that starting point, to where they come to a point, they realize they're a sinner, they realize they need Christ, and they accept what he's done for them. That's a starting point. They pray, Lord, forgive me, and then I trust you and believe you. But the Bible says then that we teach them and they observe all the things he's commanded us. So that's a starting point, but then it's a continuation so that we become disciples. We become followers of Christ. Sometimes in the past, I believe the church has been emphasized, well, it depends. Some churches emphasize a starting point, and they don't emphasize growing after that. And some churches just talk about growing, and they never emphasize the fact that it's got to start somewhere. If it doesn't start, it can't grow. It's just information. There has to be a place where it becomes me. Jesus in me. I believe he's in me. He lives in me. It's not just I know about him. He said, I'm in you and you're in me. It's a relationship. He said it has to come to that point. Otherwise, it's just information. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, as he was leaving, he made another statement to the church. Says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. Okay, there it says we're going to be witnesses in Wayne, Bradner, Bowling Green, Cleveland, New York City, Rome, Haiti, anywhere. You know, it starts and it goes out. And that's the way the church is. And it says to do this, you need to do it in his power, not yours. We're going to talk about that. You know, that sometimes we get real scared about witnessing. Well, I don't know how. I don't know. I think mainly because we don't trust the Holy Spirit to do it. We try to figure it out. You're not going to figure it out. You know, we might plan. Well, what am I going to say? Jesus says, well, don't worry about what you're going to say. When you get there, I'll tell you what to say. Oh, my goodness. How do I do that? How do I try? You mean I got to trust him that I don't have any clue what I'm going to say, and when I get there, he's going to give me some words? That's what it says. And sure enough, you know, the disciples, they did it, and they come back and say, wow, that really works. That really works. But you know, it's got to be a step of faith. It's a stepping out. You got to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to take you at your word that I'm going to go where I think I'm supposed to go. And when I get there, I'm going to trust you to show me what to say. I'm going to be open to somebody asking me something sitting at Walmart on a bench. And if they ask me something, I'm going to trust you to tell me what to say. That you'll show me what to say. I think there's that element of trust. You got to step out and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. I'll trust you to do that. I'll trust you to do that. What do I have to be afraid of? Well, you know, if you're honest, nothing. Because, you know, if I say, Lord, I trust you, and tell me what to say, and when I get there, if something comes out wrong, and if I think it's wrong, who gets the blame? Well, Lord, I don't know why you did that. You know? And sometimes you won't know why you did that. God can use your mistakes. He can use your stumbling around. He can, but just trust him. Just trust him. Lord, use me. Use me. Pray. Lord, give me your desire. Lord, help me to see people the way you see them. Lord, help me to trust you. Help me to trust you. So that when things happen, I can trust you're going to give me the words. And then, Lord, I'm going to pray that maybe this week you'll show me somebody that I can share with. And, Lord, as they come across my path or I see them, help me to go, oh, I think I need to say something. You know, when we pray, Lord, send somebody across my path, then we have to be open to see, well, here's somebody the Lord sent your way to share with. Here's somebody you can talk to. Don't make it difficult. Don't make it difficult. But be willing to share as you have opportunity. As the Lord opens doors. As the Lord opens doors. You know, the prophet Isaiah had an encounter with God, and then God put a burning coal on his lips, and he said, well, who's going to go? And he said, here am I. And then I always joke about, you know, what we say is, here am I, send Bob. You know, here am I, send somebody else. Here am I, I'll pay for somebody else to go. I'll even give them money to go, just so I don't have to go. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Where? Wherever you're going. Wherever you're going. Just here am I, send me. Lord, help me to have that desire. You know, and that's one of my prayers for us as a church. Lord, give us a desire for the lost. A desire for people who don't know you. Help us to make conscious decisions to reach people. You know, that we make decisions that this is what we want to do. You know, why do we reach out on Wednesday night? We deliberately reach out on Wednesday night. We purposely buy vans. We purposely get in them. And we drive places to pick real kids up. That's a decision. You know, that's a decision. You know, you can purpose to do it. You can decide, this is what we're going to do. What we're going to do. And I want to tell you something. The day will come when somebody else will have to do it. And if nobody else does it, it won't happen. It won't happen. Things happen because people decide to do it. They make a decision. This is what we're going to do. And if nobody makes that decision, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. So what is it that God wants you to do? What is it he wants us to do? What should be our desire? Our desire should be to love those around us the way he loves them, to see them the way he sees them, and to realize that people are perishing. People are perishing. We're not talking about, well, we'll try to help them out a little. We're talking about people are perishing. And it needs to be something inside of us that says, you know what? I'm going to do all I can, all that I can, to see that none perish. God's desire is that none perish. Now, do we realize that some are going to perish? Absolutely. But our desire should be that none perish. That where we have opportunity, we share as God gives us that opportunity. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, we just ask you to give us a heart. Lord, you give us your heart. That we have a desire to see all men saved. Lord, I pray that if anyone here doesn't know you, Lord, if maybe as we think about, we have to experience your grace and your mercy in our life before we can share it, Lord. If there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know you, Lord, they've never repented of their sin and come to you, Lord. You would just work in their heart and speak to them, Lord. Just help them to see that they have to do that. They have to accept what you did for them and ask for forgiveness. So, Lord, I pray you just work in hearts, help people to hear what you're saying to them. And, Lord, if anyone needs prayer, Lord, if they say, you know, I want to share that with somebody. I want somebody to pray with me about this. I'm struggling with this. I don't know for sure what I'm supposed to do. Lord, you encourage them to come up and let our prayer team pray with them right after the service. Lord, we just thank you for your love for us. And, Lord, help us be willing to share that love with those around us. We just pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.